This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. There was a story that came out earlier this week about what's happening in Minneapolis. A Minneapolis school district defends plan to lay off white teachers first. We had told you a little bit about their plan, and now they are defending its deal with the teachers union to lay off white educators ahead of their less senior minority colleagues, arguing that it is a necessary measure to remedy the effects of past discrimination. So if you're a white teacher, you'll get laid off before another teacher because you're white. And Taylor, I bring this up because I think there's a way we could implement something to my benefit here, which is I think Irish people in this office should always come last on the list to be laid off. To make up for the signs that said no Irish need apply.
I mean, isn't that already kind of built in?
Why? Because Howie's Irish too?
Howie's Irish. You're Irish. We lay you off. We don't have a Grace Curley show. So
that's true. That's true. But I'm just saying that it is an interesting idea. It says to remedy the continuing effects of past discrimination, Minneapolis Public Schools and the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers mutually agree to contract language that aims to support the recruitment and retention of teachers from underrepresented groups as compared to the labor market into the community served by the school district. Do you ever feel like when you're reading these statements that you're not really saying anything? It's a lot of words. There must be an easier way to say what they're trying to say. It's a lot of euphemisms packed into one sentence.
We're going to be anti-racist by being racist, but not the kind of racist that you are.
Yeah, we're going to be the other kind of racist.
Yeah, we're opposite racist.
Do two racist things make a right?
We're bizarro racist.
It is. It's very, very strange. And the story's getting a lot of play. People are understandably upset. But I have to say, Minneapolis Public Schools, they are not backing down. Minneapolis has had a lot of newsworthy headlines coming from their school departments recently. And this is just one more to add to the list. All right. Now, something I wanted to discuss here very quickly is since Liz Cheney's in the news, she's getting a lot of headlines because she was trounced, pummeled, defeated. What were the other words? Clobbered last night in her election. And Hageman beat her, and it wasn't even close. It was so not close that all of the liberal outlets didn't even try to put a spin on it. And Liz Cheney's biggest accomplishment going in to this primary, besides the fact that she is the daughter of Dick Cheney, who suddenly is having like a resurgence in popularity. I remember him being one of the worst people in the world when I was a kid and he was vice president. And now the liberals have like a newfound respect for not just Liz, it's transferred to Dick. Never thought I'd see the day where people in the mainstream media were Team Dick. But here we are. Now, January 6th is Liz's biggest resume stuffer. It's like her favorite thing to talk about is the January 6th committee hearings. She was on the committee hearing, and she was on the committee, and she was responsible for the impact it had. And now people are saying on Twitter, Trump better get ready. Because now Liz Cheney has all day to focus on taking down Trump. Before, it was just kind of like a side job. But now, her schedule is clear. She has all the time in the world. As the Kardashians said in their season opener on Hulu, we have all the time and all the money and all the resources to burn them to the ground. Liz Cheney has time and money, and Trump better watch out. But Let's think about this. If we go based off the impact that the January 6th season one committee hearings had on people, was Liz Cheney successful in that endeavor? I would argue, just based off the numbers, no, she was not. Now, this is a new poll out. It's a national poll from Monmouth University. January 6th committee impact on public opinion. Okay, Taylor, listen up. Here are the numbers. This is the before and after. So the percent I give you first is the before, and then I'll give you the after. January 6th was a riot. That's the first statement. Before, 65% of people said yes. After, 64% of people said yes.
Virtually unchanged.
January 6th was an insurrection. Before, 50% of people said yes.
I know this one went up.
After, 52% of people went up. So right. 2% for Liz Cheney, which is more than she got in her primary. So congrats to her for that. No, I'm obviously joking about that. But still, it's a good number for Liz. January 6th was a legitimate protest. 34% yes before, 35% after.
Not the way they wanted that to go.
And this one is where I really think you need to pay attention, because the real purpose of the January 6th committee, it was not to get answers. It was not to figure out what went wrong. It was to make Donald J. Trump look bad. So this is the most important statement. Trump was directly responsible for January 6th. Before the January 6th hearings, 42%. After the millions of dollars were spent on this incredibly boring production, the C-SPAN soap opera, now we are at 38%. So good job, Liz. You know who really should have to answer for this is that bigwig from ABC they brought in to really jazz up this production. He should get the axe. I mean, if you're in charge of a Broadway show trying to revive it and you get these kind of reviews, these kind of ratings, these kind of results, someone's got to be held accountable. And now they're next, as Taylor pointed out, the new season is Mar-a-Lago. The new season is the raid at Mar-a-Lago. If you have a better name for it, a catchier name, you know, they came up with J6. If you have something, I think, what did Howie call it? Operation Backfire? Backfire. Oh, Backfire Hurricane?
Backfire Hurricane, yes.
Yeah, maybe we'll call it that. I like that one. I do like that one. Well, this is backfiring on more than just Merrick Garland. This is backfiring now on Nora O'Donnell. Did you see this? Nora O'Donnell comes out and she disputes Trump's claims that his passports were taken from Mar-a-Lago. Her tweets, in which she got, she'd been told by a DOJ official. This is CBS Evening News' Nora O'Donnell, if you're not familiar with her work. A DOJ official told her that the FBI was not in possession of Trump's three passports. And so she tweets that out to discredit Donald Trump and ipso facto calling him a liar. Well, it turns out, because one of Trump's spokespeople put out an email directly from the FBI where they did admit that, it was either the DOJ or the FBI, where they did admit that they had his passports. So then Nora O'Donnell ended up being wrong. Well, now a source from CBS is ratting out Nora O'Donnell. So a source is going behind Nora's back to criticize her for trusting a source from the DOJ. It's kind of meta, isn't it?
Very, very sourceful.
It is. It's so sourceful.
What kind of sorcery is this?
This is the quote. "This is an embarrassment for CBS that the face of your network can't even make a second call to a Justice Department rep. It's journalism 101.
Gotta have at least two sources.
To be fair, it is CBS. Like, is it really an embarrassment to CBS when you really think about it?
And like the smallest of fact checks, too. The smallest thing that you could have gotten in trouble over in reporting about this entire case. Oh, Trump's claiming that they stole his passports. And that's the big fight that she wants to go over with. And she gets that wrong.
It says, yeah, it's a big no-no because they have a strict two-source protocol.
Exactly.
To be fair to Nora O'Donnell, though.
Why? She wasn't fair to Trump.
Her information was fake but accurate. I'm just going by the rules here, Taylor.
It's just such a dumb thing to put out there.
Yeah, it is. And I tweeted at her yesterday, not that she's going to see it from me, but I was like, hey, any follow-up? Sometimes I just like an apology. Everybody, I quote her all the time. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. Hannah Montana. But you have to own it. You have to apologize. Otherwise, why will anyone trust you again if you can't admit when you're wrong? But she's Nora O'Donnell. She doesn't have to. And this was a piece by Ben Weingarten. He's talking about the raid of Mar-a-Lago. And I put this in my recommended reading. It's a really, really good article. But he's laying out what we can expect. And this is how you know Ben Weingarten's one of the best, because he always is looking forward and saying, like, what's coming next? And I just want to read you this and get your reaction. He says, but there's another level on which the regime will punish its opponents following the Mar-a-Lago raid. We can expect a drip-drip of leaks for however long they are politically useful from the massive trove of documents the FBI sequestered. It can be assumed they will aim to dirty Trump and his congressional supporters in the most damaging ways, if nothing else, distracting attention from Democrat-led calamities in the run-up to the midterms. It can also be assumed those leaks will target those in and around Trump's orbit to freeze and, if necessary, crush them. But perhaps most insidious will be the effort by the regime, already begun, to cast itself as the victim of the raid rather than the aggressor, and to use its victimhood status to persecute its political opponents even more viciously. That's the part of this entire saga that really drives me nuts, Taylor. It's that they do something so egregious and so un-American and so Banana Republic-esque. And then when you criticize them, they're like, tone down the rhetoric. You're going to get the crazy people coming after us. It's like, no, I'm not. I can criticize you. That is my right as an American citizen. I can criticize you all day long. And I don't have to sit here and pretend that I am condoning anything besides criticism.
Well, that's exactly what Tucker was saying Monday night on his show during his monologue, saying, you know, you didn't believe that this could happen where you are, but here it is happening. And as soon as you question it, it's a bunch of how dare yous, how could you? We are the media. We tell you what's going on, and this is what we know to be true.
Yeah, and what I go back to is with the Supreme Court justice, with the intimidation against Brett Kavanaugh, because the left's rhetoric after the Roe versus Wade leak came out was very violent and very aggressive. And that's okay. Words are okay. I don't even want to say violent. They're rhetoric.
By the way, sorry to interrupt. A lot of leaks in the Mar-a-Lago investigation, none in the investigation into who leaked that original story.
Well, that's a tale as old as time. You know, certain investigations have a lot of leaks. They leak, and then other ones are like steel traps. But the thing that drives me crazy about that, Taylor, is that you have this situation with the Supreme Court. The left is going crazy about Roe versus Wade, and then a guy shows up to try to kill Brett Kavanaugh, and that's nobody's fault except for that crazy man. You know, that's nobody's fault. Nobody has to condemn it. Nobody has to say anything. And now the FBI, the DOJ is being weaponized against a former president of the United States. And if you say something, the next time a crazy person does something bad, which I hope it doesn't happen, but the next time it does happen, you can guarantee it's going to be our fault. It's going to be because you were so dangerous with your criticism. You are so dangerous with your skepticism of the honorable men and women of the FBI. How dare you? That's what it's going to be. We're going to be responsible now. So we're just not supposed to say anything, or else we are the ones who are at fault going forward. It's ridiculous. I really love that line, though. To cast itself as the victim of the raid rather than the aggressor. It's like an abusive person, you know, someone who gaslights you. And then the second that you bring it up, they say, you're crazy. You're nuts. 844-500-4242. We will be right back. I want to talk about late night TV ratings. And then I want to talk about student debt and whether or not it should be canceled. Also, we'll talk a little bit about Afghanistan. It's been a year since the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, and there's a really good piece in the New York Post laying out how it was just one of many disasters that Biden seemed to walk into when he became president. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley,
She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Yes, Wyoming has spoken, and we have made it clear that we are taking our country back.
Welcome back, everyone. The big news of the day is that Liz Cheney's political career as we know it has ended. She might be back, though. You might be talking about President Cheney come 2024. Also, though, Sarah Palin and her GOP rival, backed by her ex-mother-in-law, that was the Daily Mail's description. I found that interesting. Advanced to Alaska's general election for House seat. And Senator Lisa Murkowski is also advancing in the Alaska Senate race.
That's because they all have Alaska's all ranked choice.
Yeah, so I was kind of going to do like a whole segment on it. Yeah,
but election.
It's a lot of people advancing where I'm just like, okay, we'll wait till the grand finale. Just quickly here, because it's easy right now to get so caught up in all of this different news. And it feels like since Joe Biden, doesn't it feel, Taylor, as though Joe Biden's been president for 55 years?
176 years. 180 years.
I feel like the woman on the Titanic. It's been 84 years. And every single thing he's done, every time you think he can't get any worse, he does. But Afghanistan was a particular low point for him. I mean, I think that really set the course of his administration. They've never really been able to come back from that.
Yeah, every week has been just terrible for them after that, it seems.
Yeah, and that's when I thought they were going to bring out the cats. Bring out the cats! And they waited. They waited a few months to bring out Willow the cat, which I couldn't understand that. But there's a really good piece in the New York Post. It's titled, "As Afghanistan Proves, Biden Has No Plan. He just stumbles from disaster to disaster." The Taliban has reinstalled a tyrannical government under which the precious freedoms gained by Afghan women over the past 20 years have been completely reversed. And I wanted to read you one more part of this that I found interesting. It is no longer possible to view Biden's exit in the chaos that has ensued as a strategic error, however grave. You come back from errors, you reset and course correct. Instead, I have come to see the Afghanistan debacle as something more alarming, the result of a complete lack of strategy or even the basic contours of a plan. What we have seen over the past year has been nothing other than chaos disguised as policymaking. And that is very, very true. Next up, though, I did want, on a little bit of a lighter note, Taylor, before we go to the break here, sometimes we talk about late night TV ratings. There really are none. Nobody's watching late night TV anymore. But they are watching a new show. And people who listen to my show might be familiar with this. It's Greg Gutfeld's show on Fox. I wasn't sure how this was going to do. I think Greg's very funny. I like him on The Five. But I'll be honest, I wasn't sure if there was really an audience for that, if people were going to stay up that late. Well, I was way off because Greg Gutfeld notched his highest rated week in program history in total viewers with 2.4 million. And just for some perspective, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, the guy who tells you to eat Teslas, well, he came in second place with 2.1 million. NBC's Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon notched 1.3 million. And this is my favorite part of the ratings news. Jimmy Kimmel, the hilarious Jimmy Kimmel, the anti-Trumper Jimmy Kimmel, he earned just over 1 million viewers during the same period. So they can make fun of Fox all they want. But
that's sad.
Gutfeld's notching in at 2.4 million. That's pretty impressive for a conservative late night show. So kudos to Greg Gutfeld. When we come back, the question on my mind is, will Joe Biden forgive student loan debt? You can weigh in now with your take, 844-500-4242. We're talking everything student loan debt when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. This is always a fun segment, and the number is 844-500-4242. It's going to be especially fun because Taylor Cormier, I have a feeling, is going to have a lot of opinions on this. Joe Biden has teased us with student debt cancellation for quite some time. And He at one point had said, I think the magic number was $10,000. That was what he was going to relieve as far as student loan debt goes. But keep in mind that he is constantly being pushed by a radical base of progressives who would not be happy if he decided, hey, we're going to relieve all student loan debt and give you $5,000 extra. They still wouldn't be happy.
Wait, didn't he do this, but it only applied to like Christian scientists with a law degree who minored in theater and also chose oranges as their favorite citrus?
Yes.
Something like that.
And have green eyes.
Yes.
But if you meet all those qualifications, you're good to go. Yeah, well, now he's back doing kind of the same thing. President Biden wiped $3.9 billion from the student loan records on Tuesday. More than 200,000 former students. Is it just me, or does that feel like not that many?
It's not that many.
For $3.9 billion?
200,000. Wow.
That's it. Who still owe on a federal student loan from their time at ITT Technical Institute will see their loan balances cleared, whether they've applied for forgiveness or not. So
you remember ITT Tech commercials? Oh, I used to see them all the time.
Yeah, what would they say?
Oh, it was just very hacky commercials. Like, picture your local lawyer's commercials and imagine a college making the same level of commercials.
Well, the commercials weren't the only thing that was hacky. There's a lot of hackiness going on at ITT. They closed their campus in 2016 after years of questioning and scrutiny of its accreditation standards and recruiting processes. So very similar to what you were just talking about, Taylor, with the other university.
They were the Saul Goodman of colleges.
Yeah, better call Saul. Some of the former students were already eligible for federal student loans forgiveness, but this move applies to all borrowers. Now, the expiration date for when we're all going to have to start paying back our student loans is, for those of us who owe them, is going to be August 31st. That's the deadline. But what's been happening for the last, what, 2-3 years is that every time it comes up, they push it back more. They push it back a couple months. And there's no doubt in my mind, like I would bet a lot of money on it. I would bet $3.9 billion that Joe is going to keep kicking the can down the road. He's definitely not going to start making people pay right before midterms.
I'll parlay that by saying that his excuse will be, I haven't had time to give it that much thought because of Putin's unprovoked war in Ukraine and the supply chain shortages and all of that. And we're still dealing with COVID shutdowns.
And we're still working on a way to relieve student loan debt. Like this is still something that
we're
looking at all the tools in our toolkit to try to figure this out. This brings the total amount of loan discharges under Biden to nearly $32 billion. And here's the key part. This is from Finance. This is from Yahoo.com. And leaves many wondering what more could be forgiven, or at least if payments will remain on pause. Let me assure you, the payments will remain on pause. You don't have to be a Biden economic advisor. You don't have to be Liz Warren. You don't have to be any of those people to know that they are not about to press play on these payments right before the massive red wave that's coming in November. I would guess that if Joe Biden stays president until 2024, he will keep the pause going until then. But there is a hesitancy to relieve, to cancel all student loan debt. And it makes sense. Because the thing with student loan debt is, yeah, will you make a few people very happy if you cancel it? Sure. But those people are probably going to vote for you anyway. And the people that you're going to tick off, that's something I don't think they're ready for.
The industrious, productive members of society that have just about paid their student loans off already?
Yeah, I don't think they love the idea of being saddled with having to pay for all of the liberal arts educations across this country. And I say that as a theater major. I can say that, you know? You know how, like Taylor, you could say something mean about Frank Sinatra because you pretend to be Frank Sinatra on the weekends. That's
not entirely true, but I'll take it.
I can say stuff about those kind of degrees because I have one. I'm a theater major and I'm proud of it. But I don't expect anyone else to pay for me being a theater major. I don't expect for anyone else to pay for my performance in Twelfth Night. That's not something I would expect. I don't think that's fair to put that burden on somebody else. But a lot of people want Joe Biden to cancel student loan debt. He's been tiptoeing around it for a very long time. And I want to hear what people think about this. It's 844-500-4242. This comes on the heels of a massive spending bill that he just signed off on that is not going to cancel student loan debt, but it is going to give you a lot of solar panels. It is going to give you an incentive to buy an electric vehicle. It is going to give you your own personal IRS agent to make sure you're paying your fair share.
Is it really an incentive to buy an electric vehicle when the price spiked by the same exact amount that your rebate is for?
Yeah, this is like when you get a coupon from a store and you realize that they could just make this the normal price.
Oh, it's like when you go to a store and something's 50% off, but they're out of stock, so you can't buy it. And when it comes back, it's not on sale anymore.
Yeah, it really is a double whammy. And on kind of that same note, not to be the bearer of bad news here, Taylor, but you're not going to like this either. This is from the Daily Wire. Leftists call for a meat tax.
A meat tax?
A meat tax.
Like gathering together and meeting kind of tax?
No, M-E-A-T.
Oh, no.
I know. This is really bad for me because I didn't even tell you this, but...
Does this apply to Beyond Meat?
No, 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 no. That is beyond reproach. That is going to be...
Beyond taxation.
That is going to be totally fine. What I forgot to tell you, Taylor, was last week... You ever like have those weeks where you don't really think about what you're having for dinner every night and then you kind of do an inventory and you're like, wow, I've been really off track?
I eat my dinner here.
Oh, that's true. Well, let's not go down that road. We're not trying to depress people that much. But I did an inventory of like what I'd been eating that week and I realized Monday night I had a steak. Tuesday night my husband bought ribs. Wednesday night I had a cheeseburger. I think Thursday night I had pizza. And then Friday night I had prime rib. That's a lot of meat.
How do you stay so thin?
That's a lot of meat. And I was like, wow. And I did the inventory right before I ate the prime rib. So right as I was ordering it, I was like, this feels wrong for some reason. I'm usually really excited to order this.
But it feels so right.
And my heart was like, maybe it's because it's your fifth serving of hefty red meat this
week.
Maybe
you couldn't hear your heart because all of the arteries were clogged.
Yes. Well, now Democratic lawmakers have long claimed that excrement produced by livestock and poultry farming have an outsized impact on global temperatures. Well, Vox reporter Kenny Torella noted that the Inflation Reduction Act devotes 5% of its funds towards changing farming practices while entirely ignoring meat and dairy production. So they're not happy with what's happening in the Inflation Reduction Act.
Chickens.
And this kind of goes into Joe Manchin, because remember he had said that he made this deal with Chuck Schumer behind closed doors, and he was promised, he didn't say this, but this is, we read between the lines, that he was promised a lot of things regarding West Virginia and pipelines. Well, they're already backtracking on that. There's a lot of progressives who are already fighting that. So he might not even get what he wants. And it goes back to this idea that the progressives are never happy. And Torella admitted that handing out carrots in Congress might be a more politically effective path to reforming the factory farming industry and the emissions that it spews and the suffering that it creates. But he personally supports a meat tax, claiming that the approach has a lot of merit and could build public support for a life and death issue that is too often ignored. The price of meat's already really high. Take it from someone who eats it every night. Okay? The meat tax is going to put people like me out of business. What am I going to be forced to eat? Chickens? Chicken? Salads? Outrageous.
Chickens. I can taste it.
Phil, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, hey, Grace. You were talking about student loan forgiveness. And it wouldn't be student loan forgiveness per se. It's just transferring the debt from people that have student loans to people that don't have student loans. And, you know, I didn't sign up for your student loan. You did. And if you're smart enough to get into college, you should be smart enough to read the fine print into what you're getting into.
Yeah. You know what, Phil? You just bring up a really fun point, actually,
That's the thing, though. It's not all smart people in college.
I know. I didn't want to nitpick, but yeah, that's a good point. You don't have to be that smart. Let's all be honest with ourselves here. Plus, if your parent is a celebrity, you can just Photoshop your face onto a rower's body and boom, you're in UCLA.
It's like the 2008 housing crisis. Just bad mortgages. Just bad degrees.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that.
There's a college bubble.
But you know what? Something that Phil just brought up, student loan forgiveness, it harkens back to these euphemisms we're seeing. Like how everything is, everything is sugar-coated with fairy dust. It's like, instead of just saying canceling student loan debt, that sounds too harsh, you know? That doesn't give people the warm, fuzzy feeling that student loan forgiveness gives people. And I think that'd be a fun segment tomorrow. Like, what are your favorite? It makes me think of when they say, instead of, oh, we're going to spend $400 billion, they say, we're going to invest $400 billion. Like, those kind of, instead of the climate healthcare bill, they call it the Inflation Reduction Act. It's all word games. It's all semantics. And the annoying part is that, and I'm guilty of this too, like, the right feeds into it. We do start repeating it. They say the Don't Say Gay Bill.
Don't Say Gay Bill.
And then we all start saying the Don't Say Gay Bill.
It's, you got to get, they've got a thing for coming up with those. They make them catchy and it's easier to remember.
Yeah, they have a thing for that, but they don't have a thing for chance. If they could channel some of the bill naming energy into the chants.
Yeah, bad chanting.
The chants are always out of tune. And you know that, Taylor. You're a performer.
The syllables are all out of place.
They need a conductor. They need me. That's what they need. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. It looks like history is repeating itself. Today, Biden's economy is mirroring that of Jimmy Carter. The parallels are uncanny. Under Carter, both the stock market and the dollar lost more than half their value. The price of oil quadrupled, the economy tanked, and inflation ran rampant. And that sounds really bad, but at least you knew that Jimmy Carter was semi-aware of his surroundings. We're not very sure about that now with Joe Biden. But those who owned precious metals in the 1970s saw the value of gold rise over 1,300%. Now, the big difference between Carter and Biden was that Carter wasn't trying to legislate the taxing of retirement accounts. What we are seeing is a once-in-every-generation opportunity. Some analysts predict gold as high as $5,000. A network analyst predicts $15,000 in 3 years. Get Monetary Gold's complimentary protection guide if you want to protect your savings from greedy socialists. My listeners who open a qualified account now will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. Call 888-617-7994 and ask for their free guide. Again, that's 888-617-7994 or visit them at monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace. And just one more bit of good news for you, because we were talking about the meat tax, canceling of student loan debt, and I know it can be kind of dreary, but I have good news. If you want to win $50 of gas money, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enter your email to win $50 of gas money from me and Howie. Today's Howie and I, me and Howie. I never get that right.
I believe it's Howie and me.
So I didn't even give that as an option, did I? I was way off. Howie and me will give you $50 of gas money, and today's winner is Anthony from Wilbraham, Mass. Congrats, Anthony. You've won $50 of gas money. Joining me in the next segment is Howie Carr. We have a lot to discuss with the captain, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Taylor Cormier is on the board. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Democrat is more likable? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, or Chuck Schumer?
Oof, that is a tough one. I'm going to have to say Kamala Harris.
She's been polling pretty steadily at 42%, Joe Biden at 35%, Chuck Schumer at 20%, and Nancy Pelosi creeps up to 2%.
Howie Carr joins us now for the Carr crossover. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
Now, Howie, there's a trend I'm noticing with liberals, and this is not going to be a surprise to you, but when liberals get pushback or backlash or whatever you want to call it, criticism for something, they immediately become the victims and we're the bad guys. And a perfect example is actually happening here in Boston. Boston Children's Hospital came out. They were proud to announce that they were taking part in this gender-affirming surgery for children. And now they're getting a lot of backlash, and suddenly they're horrified.
Can you get a hysterectomy if you're in nursery school and you have to wait till kindergarten before you're eligible?
Well, we're actually hearing stories that, like, there was a dad I recently saw, I think it was on the internet today, that a dad said his son was asked, his three-year-old was asked by the doctor, are you a boy or a girl? I mean, it is getting this crazy.
Wasn't that a song from the 60s? Are you a boy or are you a girl? Yeah, you look like a girl. What was that? Multi and the Barbarians or somebody like that. I guess it's reality now.
Yeah. The songs have become the truth. And as we're on this kind of local stuff, Howie, Monica Cannon Grant wants unemployment assistance as she fights federal fraud charges. I know that you are one of Monica Cannon Grant's biggest fans. You're her number one supporter.
You know, I'm glad because there was something that happened last week. Both her and her husband have been indicted for this massive fraud. She's got her own lawyer. This guy named Goldstein. But the husband has got a public defender. I mean, you know, I thought that both of them would either have public defenders or private lawyers. I mean, don't they, isn't it a shared pot? I mean, they are married. Why does he have a public defender and she doesn't? I don't get it.
If my husband and I were both in trouble for something and he used all his money to hire a top-notch lawyer and then I was stuck with a public defender, the marriage would be on the rocks, needless to say.
Well, this is so classic, though, Monica Cannon Grant. There's rumors going around that, another woke Boston politician that's almost as popular with the beautiful people as Monica Cannon Grant could be in jammed up if a certain newspaper runs the story, that is.
Oh, that's a little teaser for everyone, maybe.
I know a lot more about this story, but there's not much more I can say than that.
That means it's probably pretty juicy. Hopefully we'll hear more about it, Howie, later.
It's real juicy. But it's so juicy that the paper doesn't want it to get out for obvious reasons.
Howie, last night the big story was Liz Cheney. She was defeated, trounced, pummeled, clobbered, however you want to put it. And she is proud that she never went along with the big lie. And she really is, like you said yesterday, she's going to be the new hero for the left. She's going to be welcome to all the cocktail parties. I think this is just the beginning for Liz Cheney's political career.
You know, Tucker made the point last night that she's gone from being worth $7 million when she was first elected to $33 million today. You know, that's pretty good for, what, 4 or 6 years in Congress, and now her earning potential is unlimited.
The sky's the limit.
The world is her oyster.
Yeah.
She'll be living on Martha's Vineyard before too long for the summer.
But I thought there were some really good points when she was saying things like, oh, if you support Donald Trump, then you support the big lie. Well, she's pushed her own fake news throughout the years.
Right. The Russian bounties.
Yeah, that was a big, big whopper of a lie. Do all Liz Cheney supporters, did they believe that, or did they still?
Oh, you know, the Newsbusters has got a good story today. I'll read some of the things they said about her. Chris Hayes despised her. You know, Chris Hayes, who is now the poster boy for why Democrats are so despised, according to Sean Patrick Maloney, who I would also say is a poster boy for that phenomenon.
Yeah, it's one unlikable person accusing other people of being unlikable.
That's another thing. Good. Now I can bring in the story about Sean Patrick Maloney's body man. Remember that? That was a couple of weeks ago. That didn't get nearly as much play as it should have. He's got a strapping young man living with him and his husband.
844-500-4242. Howie Carr has a jam-packed show for you. Don't go anywhere. Be back tomorrow.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect when it comes to dentistry. He's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth, your smile, but what he really does is build the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you are proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel, and that helps every aspect of your life, every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes so much easier. It's a new year and you have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. Have you thought about Perfect Smiles for years but never called? This year, take care of yourself. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They are conveniently located off Route 3 and have plenty of parking. You can reach them at perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life.